Now please have opened Revelation chapter 8. We come to this message, General Judgments upon the World. Kita melihat Wahyu pasal ke-8 ayat 7 sampai ke-13. Kita mempelajari mengenai penghakiman umum terhadap dunia. Now we remind ourselves that this book was written by the aged apostle John, who was exiled to the island of Patmos for his faith. Patmos was located off the coast of modern-day Turkey. In those days, it was the Roman province of Asia. Now, John was given this series of visions which he was told to record down in this book. And that was round about the year AD 95. Kita sudah pun mempelajari bahawa buku Wahyu ini ditulis oleh Rasul Yohanes semasa dia uzur, sudah tua orang ini, dan dia dibuang negeri ke Pulau Patmos kerana imannya. Dan Patmos itu terletak berdekatan dengan Turki yang pada masa itu ialah provinsi Asia, Empire Roma. Dan Yohanes diberi penglihatan-penglihatan ini yang disuruhnya dicatatkan dalam buku. Dan buku ini ditulis kurang lebih dalam tahun selepas Masehi 95. Now we have looked at the first vision, which is the vision of the seven golden lampstands covering chapters 1 to chapter 3. Then we have looked at the seven seals covering chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 8. We are currently on the second vision, the vision of the seven seals. And as the seventh seal is opened up, a new series, a new vision is seen, the vision of the seven trumpets. So we are actually launching off into the third vision, the vision of the seven trumpets, which begins with the opening of the seventh seal. So you see now that this book is written quite uniquely, quite apart from the fact that it is the Word of God, written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, intending to convey God's will to us. The book in and of itself has unique features which make it really quite a book. Now, if we appreciate literature as an art form, you notice that the way this book is written is really unique and wonderful. It begins well and it ends with a high note, lifting up our hearts to expect the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In between, the story, the message is told in a series of visions. And the last part of the vision opens up a new vision, and the new vision ends with the opening of a new vision. So if you know those China dolls which you buy on your holidays elsewhere, you have this big doll and then you open up and inside it there is a smaller doll, you open it up, there is a smaller doll and so on, you see. So in this case you have the vision of the seven golden lampstands which is finished already, and followed by the vision of the seven trumpets. And this is where the uniqueness comes. The vision of the seven seals and the last of the seals, when opened, reveals to us the new vision, the vision of the seven trumpets. And when the last trumpet is sounded, we are going to be led into a new vision, the vision of the seven bowls of God's wrath. So you see here that we are actually at the end of the second vision, the vision of the seven seals. The seventh seal has been opened. It leads us into the third vision. So we are now launching off. We are starting now the third vision, the vision of the seven trumpets. So as the seventh seal is opened, we are given the beginning, the introduction of the third vision. And in this introduction, we have already seen that in heaven, God is receiving the prayers of the saints. Those who have died in faith Their souls are in heaven. Their souls are found under the altar in the previous vision. And they're crying out to God, and God is listening to them. But what about the saints, the believers who are still on earth? They too are praying to God because of the trials and the persecution they're facing on earth. And their prayers are so imperfect and wouldn't have been accepted by God. But because Jesus Christ has already died for them and redeemed them, their prayers are now made perfect by the work of Christ. Furthermore, Jesus Christ is still in heaven acting as our high priest, interceding for his people. So his intercession for us make our imperfect prayer acceptable to God. So God actually receives our prayer because Christ makes them perfect, and God is answering our prayer. So this is shown by an angel who brought this censer, this container, which was filled with incense, and the incense was placed on the altar to burn, and is mixed together with the prayer of the saints, such that it's received by God. Okay. Now, this part of the vision also shows to us that God is listening to the prayers of his people, and he answers. He's not ignorant of the situation on earth, and he's not ignoring the prayers of his people. He is going to show that he is always answering the prayers of his people. And the seven trumpets, each trumpet will be blown, showing to us what God is doing on earth in this dispensation, this period of time, this gospel age, between the first coming of Christ and his second coming. In this period of time, God is answering the prayers of his people by judging the world in general. The next trumpet is blown, and God reveals the same period of time from a different angle. He shows to us that he is judging the world. And the third trumpet is blown, and the fourth trumpet is blown. So each trumpet shows to us that God is actually answering the prayers of his people. He's acting in judgment upon the unbelievers of this world. Okay? Seen from different angles. Now, as a token to show that God is actually acting in response to the answer, to the prayers of his people, he gives the token or the first fruits by asking the angels to fill his censer with fire from the altar. Earlier it was filled with incense which was offered on the altar to God. Now it's empty. Now God says, fill that censer with fire and then pour it out on the earth. And as the fire was poured down on the earth, noises were heard. Thunder, lightning, earthquake. Now all these would have been very shocking to people, see? And this is to show that God is acting in response to the prayer of his people. So we might think that the things that are going to be revealed with each trumpet blowing are just so-called natural disasters or events that are to be expected. But God wants us to understand that these are his general judgments. He is causing all this to happen in response to the prayer of his people. Okay? So in token of God's response to the prayer of his people, he's giving this first fruits of the noise, the thunder, the lightning, and the earthquake. But now God is going to show how he's dealing with the unbelieving world. Jadi sejauh ini kita mempelajari penglihatan pertama mengenai tujuh batang kaki Dian, merangkumi pasal 1 sampai ke pasal 3. Dan kita sudah pun mempelajari penglihatan kedua mengenai tujuh meterai yang dibuka. Setiap meterai dibuka sampai yang ketujuh. Apabila yang ketujuh dibuka, penglihatan yang ketiga bermula. Dan sekarang kita sedang mempelajari penglihatan yang ketiga ini. Sebagai pengenalan kepada penglihatan yang ketiga ini, kita dapati di syurga seorang malaikat sedang menyembahkan kemuliaan kepada Tuhan kita. Dan ini menunjukkan bahwa Tuhan Yesus sudah melakukan apa-apa yang diperlukan untuk menebus orang-orang kepunyaannya. Kita sudah dibersihkan oleh darahnya. Kita sudah diselamatkan oleh korbannya atas salib. Sekarang, sungguh pun kita berada di dunia. Sungguh pun penderitaan kita disampaikan kepada Tuhan melalui doa-doa kita. Doa-doa kita itu tidak sempurna dan tidak akan diterima oleh Tuhan yang sempurna. Tetapi Tuhan menerima juga doa kita kerana doa yang tak sempurna itu disempurnakan oleh Tuhan Yesus. Dia sudah melakukan segala-gala untuk menyelamatkan kita dan sekarang dia berada di syurga bekerja sebagai imam besar kita. Dia campur tangan dalam hal kita melalui pengantaraannya. Doa-doa kita yang tak sempurna itu disempurnakannya. Dan oleh itu Tuhan kita menerima dan mendengar doa kita. Dan dia menjawab doa kita. Dia akan menjawab melalui apa yang digambarkan setiap kali sangkakala dibunyikan. Sangkakala atau di sini kita sebut trompet. Setiap kali trompet itu dibunyikan, maka sesuatu akan berlaku. Dan setiap trompet itu menunjukkan apa yang akan berlaku dalam zaman ini. Zaman yang bermula dengan kedatangan Yesus Kristus pada kali pertama dan akan mengakhiri dengan pemulangannya pada kali kedua. Jadi dalam zaman inilah, zaman di mana Injil diperkabarkan. Dalam zaman perkabaran Injil inilah, Tuhan kita akan menjawab doa-doa umatnya dan dia akan menghakimi dunia yang tak percaya ini. Setiap trompet itu menunjukkan zaman yang sama, apa yang akan dibuat oleh Tuhan dari sudut yang berlainan. Okay? Tetapi sebagai pendahuluan, sebagai apa penentuan bahawa dia akan menjawab doa-doa kita, dia menyuruh malaikat di syurga itu memenuhi dulangnya itu dengan api dari mesbah. Dan dari mesbah itu dia mengambil api dan menuangkannya ke bumi. Dan apabila api itu dituang ke bumi, apa yang terjadi ialah bunyi kuat didengar, guruh didengar, halilintar terlihat dan gempa bumi berlaku. Ini ialah satu tanda untuk menunjukkan bahawa Tuhan kita sudah tentu akan menjawab doa umat-umatnya. Dia akan tentu melakukan sesuatu terhadap bumi yang tidak percaya ini. Okay? Jadi sejauh ini kita sudah mempelajari ini. Now we are moving on from there. Today we are going to learn about the blowing of each of the first four trumpets. And we are going to draw out three lessons from today's passage. Now the first lesson we may draw out is that God's general judgment is in response to the prayers of the saints. Now when events like this happen on earth, those without faith will not be able to see that God's hand is behind what has happened. What are the things that will happen? First, the angel blew his trumpet. And what happens is that hail and fire mingled with blood comes down from heaven. And the trees, a third of the trees of the land is destroyed. A third of the green grass is burned up. Now, in this country, we do not see hail except on unusual occasions. And therefore, most of us do not know what hail is like and do not know the potential danger that hail can pose to human lives. Occasionally, we see published in the papers, hailstones fell in Taiping or somewhere else. See? Now, instead of raindrops falling to the ground, we have ice crystals falling. And that's why we hear our roofs with all these solid drops of water dropping. Instead of liquid water, it's solid ice dropping. And you hear all the sound and you know, hey, this is unusual. You go out and discover it's already melted into water. Okay? And occasionally we read in the papers that bigger hailstones have fallen and people have actually picked up the hailstone. Okay? Now, just because we don't experience hailstone here does not mean that we are excused from not knowing. We do not have to know. Now, we live in a globalized world with exchange of information and news everywhere. We travel about everywhere. We need to know. We cannot say we do not know what snow is like, what the four seasons are like, as mentioned in the Bible. Just like people elsewhere cannot say what flooding is like, you know, what malaria is like or whatever. If they travel here and they don't want to find out more about malaria, they will suffer for it. They have to find out, see. So for us, we need to know what the Bible means by this. Remember in the day of Moses, when Pharaoh was hardening his heart against God's will, God caused hailstone to fall, destroying the crops and the animals and killing people. And Moses, the Pharaoh, was so frightened by it all, and he was so frightened to the point of submitting to God's will. Yeah? Now, in certain parts of the world, hailstones, the big size, the size as big as the fist, can drop. And depending on how high the cloud has been from where the hailstone dropped, and the higher, of course, the greater the speed it picks up, and the hailstone, depending on how much is falling. So if it's big, heavy, falling down from a great height, it can acquire such great speed and it comes down and it can destroy crops and kill animals and people can be killed. And it leaves holes in the ground. Okay? Now this has been known to happen. Now here it has been proposed by some scholars that this is actually not normal hailstone. It may be a reference to volcanic eruptions, in which case the lava and the stones all fall out from the sky as it's exploded and flown into the sky, and as it drops and it carries with it fire, right, and affecting the land, destroying the plants and killing people. And certainly people are killed because the subsequent trumpets show that people are killed. Why not this one? And we are told that the hailstone and fire is mingled with blood. Now it is a way of saying that as the hailstone and the fire comes down, lives are taken. Okay? So we see that a third of the life on earth is taken away because of the blowing of this first trumpet. Now if you were to face with disaster on land, you see, where would you run to? You run into the mountains, you are still on land, you will be affected. You read recently of the forest fires in California, you look at the television, how the fires rage. You are frightened, you know, if you were to be there, such a fire were to rage, you wouldn't want to run to the mountains. So the whole of solid land is affected by disasters brought about by the hand of God. Okay? This is to show to us that it is God who is acting, right? Now, where would you run? You run to the sea. You think you will be safe in the sea, but what happens is that a second trumpet is blown, and what appears to be like a mountain is a huge piece of burning object, you see, and it's being hurled, you see. Now, you throw a ball, you see. Now, where does it fly? Where does it land? You see, you follow the path of the trajectory, the ball is being thrown, it's falling somewhere, okay? And in this case, this huge burning ball of fire, solid and burning, is being hurled, and it falls. Will it fall on the land? No, it is bypassing the land, and now it comes over the ocean. You thought that it's okay, there will be few people in the ocean, but no, the burning ball falls into the ocean. And imagine the water sizzling and the steam coming up and the waves that are created, the chaos that results from that burning ball. And the next moment you see fish floating, see, and other creatures dying, and you see the big whales all floating up, dying, burnt. And you discover that the waves spread, the ships are shaken and overturned, and people are dying. So a third of the creatures of the sea and a third of the ships are destroyed, leaving only two-thirds. So you see, still two-thirds are left, but
remember, two-thirds are left, but one-third is not little. So one-third, a substantial number of people die. So here, it is a vision. So we don't look upon it as the exact proportion. One-third really died. But what we are saying is a definite proportion died, such that we take note. It is not just an insignificant number, such as one or two out of the whole oceans of the world. One or two people die in the oceans of the world. It's not that. But it is a substantial number of people, such as the Titanic sinking each time. You see? And it causes us to awaken to the realization that something is happening. And this something is not pleasant. This something is actually a judgment from God. And the eyes of faith must see that God's hand is behind all this. Then the third trumpet is blown. And this time, a star from outer space come crashing upon earth. And we hear of this possibility. And indeed, meteorites have fallen on earth before. And shooting stars still continue to fall on earth. See? Now people have picked up smaller ones, but there have been craters left by huge asteroids of meteors crashing to the earth. Right? And it's supposed to have cause radioactive activity and also cause changes in the climate and so on. Right? And in fact, some of the big craters around the world, which is today filled with water, which are lakes, well-known lakes, they were supposed to have been craters caused by meteorites falling. Okay? But here is a huge star heading towards Earth, and as it enters the space of the Earth, we can imagine that it catches fire and then it explodes into pieces. And this time the pieces fall. And where is it going to fall this time? This star. Now the land has been affected, the sea has been affected. So now we discover that this star, which breaks, it falls on the rivers and the fresh water supply of the earth. Now this is a crucial part of the life of the human race. We need fresh water, water supply. And this star is called wormwood. And the word wormwood comes from the Old Testament. Jeremiah the prophet has used the word wormwood before. Now to the Jews, wormwood is a substance derived from a tree, which is very bitter and also very poisonous. Now, to capture an idea of it, you have to think of what is the bitterest thing that you have tasted before. Now you go to some of these roadside stalls selling Chinese herbal medicine, and there is a bowl with a glass covering it. You take away that, it is black, and then you drink that. It's supposed to be good for your sore throat. It's very bitter. Okay? But I want to tell you that bitterness is nothing compared to other things that are much, much more bitter. Now just in recent days, I was in Palembang in Indonesia, and then there was this tree which has certain fruits we dropped to the ground. It is like a nut, which when you peel open, the nut inside is whitish in color, white in color. See? And when you put a bit of it on your tongue, phew, the bitterness just spreads and it's extremely, extremely bitter. I've never tasted anything more bitter than that. And I was told that some Malaysian businessmen go and order this to bring back here to sell because it can be used as a medicine. But what we need to take note of is this star called wormwood or bitterness. It's actually named after the substance of a tree that is not only very bitter, but it is also extremely poisonous. It does not heal, but it destroys. So when this star bursts and falls onto the fresh water supply of the earth, those who drink the water are affected and a third of the people die. Okay? Now this is a reference to the things we consume in, causing us to be harmed from within, and many die. Okay? Then we come to the fourth trumpet. And this time, what else can happen? The land has been affected, the sea has been affected, the water supply has been affected. So what else? And you discover that something strikes the sun. And the third of the sun does not give out its light. See? Then something strikes the moon, And the third of the moon does not give out its light. I look at the stars in the sky, and to your amazement, a third of the stars are struck off. See? Now, if this row of light here, one were to go off, you would say, ah, maybe the fuse has blown. See? But if in the next row of light, another one goes off, you say, maybe it is another fuse that has blown. But if another light were to go off next, you begin to wonder, hey, you know, is somebody switching off the light? Now one goes off, the next one goes off, the next one goes off, you certainly look around. Probably, more likely, somebody is just playing with the switches and switching off one by one. So here what we are taking note of is the fact that God is indicating that His hand is behind all that is happening. The sun, a third of the sun, ceases to give out light. Look at the moon, a third of the moon ceases to give out light. Look at the stars, a third of the stars ceases to give out light. Hey, some intelligent, powerful hand must be behind all this. And God indeed is trying to say to us, He is behind all this. He is the one who is causing this in order that the world may be judged. See? And we know that if anything were to happen to the sun, either by the heat increasing or the heat decreasing, the earth will be affected. Today we talk about global heating. And it is really a matter of concern. If you look at the pictures that are shown to us, comparing the present situation of the Arctic Circle now and something like 10 years ago, you see a drastic difference. The glaciers are melting and moving out. The border line of the ice in the Arctic Circle has melted and moved further, becoming less. The thickness of the ice has decreased. And all this while, the ecosystem has existed in such a way that we're so used to the balance of the ecology. The polar bears and the seals have dwelt on the top, catching the fishes to dwell underneath. The Eskimos have ridden along certain paths, pulling their sledges being pulled by their huskies, their dogs, you see. And you discover that if the glaciers are melting, if the ice layer is getting thinner, and if the boundary of the ice is retreating, now what is going to happen? And you discover that the water level of the ocean is changing. You discover that the climate of the world is changing, and you discover flooding is going to occur, because one thing will affect another, another will affect another. You discover the whole chain of events will affect life on the earth, and it will affect life on the earth in an adverse way, in a way that is detrimental, not good for us. See? And God is basically saying, He's acting in judgment upon this earth. Okay? So when we think of volcanic eruptions taking place, don't say, oh, it is an act of nature. Something is happening as expected in nature. On and off there will be a volcanic eruption, destroying crops and killing lives. But if a series of volcanoes erupt, then we have to think whether it is just merely an act that is expected in nature. Then if coupled with that there are earthquakes one after another, and if with that we have a tsunami that kills 200,000 people affecting so many nations across the globe, now we really have to sit up and wonder whether this is a message to us. And if forest fires like that which occurred recently in America were to destroy properties and lives, we should be caused to awaken to ask the question, what are all these? And then if flooding were to occur in China, in Bangladesh, in Malaysia, in various parts of the world, taking lives, we really have to begin to ask the question, is this just accidental? Things that are to be expected on and off in nature. If diseases were to come one after another, shaking us to realize that our medicines are not good enough, and that our technology is not good enough to foresee and forestall all this. Think of the Nipah virus that swept through the nation. Now, in the midst of it, and when you live near to it, you wonder, you see, you were fearful. You were wondering whether the next person you meet might be carrying the Nipah virus and you will be affected, you see. And then when the SARS virus spread, you see, and you see that the world is shaken by it, and you realize that HIV is still a big problem spreading around the world, you discover that cancer is still killing so many people around the world. So diseases from within. And then famine. Yeah. There can be crop failure affecting many people at one go. And again, we live in a relatively prosperous part of the world where anything thrown to the ground will grow, you see. But you must remember that things can change suddenly when all crops can be wiped out by disease or by weather change. And especially in China and places like that. Now, if you read some of these missionary stories, those OMF missionaries who ministered in China in those days, when famine struck the land, how people dug for roots to eat and began to eat anything that they could, you see. Many died, you see, many died. If you were to read accounts of the time when they ministered to people in those places. Now, it's horrible. People die, so many die because of famine and crop failures. So all in all, what we are saying is, this series of four trumpets blowing, causing the world to be affected, killing a definite portion of people, enough to awaken us to the realization that they are significant. See? All these are the judgments of God upon the world. Okay? And the two-thirds, which are not necessarily exactly two-thirds, but it is a definite number, the majority of the people who have been spared, they are supposed to awaken to the realization that they also deserve to be destroyed as the other third. The other third have been destroyed. They should have been destroyed as well, because what made them better than others? They were no better than others. They sin against God. They reject the gospel. They oppose the people of God. You see, they should have been destroyed as well. But God is sparing them and giving them the opportunity to repent. Okay. Now those who are God's people, who pray to God and cry out, when God are you going to act? God tells us, vengeance is mine, you see, and therefore we leave it to God to avenge for us against those who cause us harm. We may wonder when God is going to act. Has God heard our prayer? Will He answer our prayers? Now this vision here tells us that we should have eyes of faith to see that God is acting. God is answering the prayers of His people. Okay? Jadi setiap malaikat yang meniup itu sangkakalanya, trompetnya. Setiap kali trompet itu dibunyikan, sesuatu berlaku. Dan sepertiga dari makhluk di bumi terbunuh. Dan satu lagi trompet ditiup dan sesuatu berlaku terhadap lautan, air lautan. Dan sepertiga dari makhluk yang berada di sana mati. Dan trompet yang ketiga ditiup, sesuatu berlaku. Dan air tawar di bumi semua tercemar. Dan sesiapa yang meminumnya semua jatuh sakit dan sepertiganya mati. Dan trompet keempat ditiup, kita dapati sesuatu terkena pada matahari dan sepertiga dari matahari itu tidak lagi mengeluarkan terang. Dan sesuatu terkena pada bulan dan bulan itu sepertiga daripadanya tidak keluar cahaya. Dan kita melihat bintang yang ada di langit. Tiba-tiba sepertiga dari bintang-bintang ini semua sudah tidak keluarkan apa-apa cahaya lagi. Jadi, apa boleh kita kata? Adakah ini kebetulan saja berlaku? Tidak boleh kita kata ini kebetulan. Kalaulah lampu, deretan lampu yang ada berada di depan kita di sini, kalau satu itu hangus tidak mengeluarkan terang, kita boleh kata mungkin fuse-nya sudah terbakar. Tapi kalau deretan lampu yang satu lagi ini, satu daripadanya pun tidak mengeluarkan cahaya. Satu lagi tidak keluarkan cahaya. Sudah tentu kita sekarang tidak menyangka bahwa ini hanya kebetulan saja. Kita kan melihat-lihat adakah sesiapa yang bermain dengan switch. Mungkin dia sedang padamkan lampu satu persatu. Ha? Dan begitu juga, apa yang berlaku setiap kali trompet itu dibunyikan menyebabkan sesuatu berlaku. Kalau ini berlaku, dan itu berlaku, dan itu berlaku, maka kita terkena memikir, bukankah ini kerja Tuhan? Ya, sebenarnya ini kerja Tuhan. Tuhan kita ingin menunjukkan bahwa Dia yang mengawal keadaan. Dia yang menyebabkan semua ini berlaku. Dan ini ialah kerana Dia sedang menjawab doa-doa umatnya. Umatnya menderita di dunia. Orang yang tak percaya menganiayai mereka. Mencederakan mereka. Mereka menolak Injil. Mereka enggan menunduk kepada Tuhan yang mencipta mereka. Sekarang Tuhan sedang menjawab doa umat-umatnya dan menyebabkan kesemua ini berlaku. Sepertiga dari makhluk di dunia ini termusnah. Mereka mati. Tapi ini secara simbol saja, secara gambaran saja. Ini tidak bermakna benar-benar sepertiga. Ini hanya untuk menunjukkan bahawa sebilangan tertentu, bukan satu dua yang boleh kita tak ambil kira, tetapi sebahagian tertentu yang menyebabkan kita terasa bahawa ini bukan satu dua orang, ini segolongan orang yang sudah mati. Jadi ini ada sebabnya, ya. Tuhan kita sedang berkata sebabnya ialah mereka selama ini enggan menunduk kepada aku. Selama ini mereka menolak Injil. Selama ini mereka berani menganiayai umat aku. Okay? Jadi inilah jawaban Tuhan kita kepada doa umatnya. Okay. Then the second thing to be noted is that all these are for the sin of stubborn unbelief. Now look. When we consider those who perish in their sin without hearing the gospel, remember they are already guilty before God. They are all descended. We are all descended from Adam who sinned against God. And because Adam was the representative of the human race, when he sinned against us, against God, we were actually in him sinning against God. So Adam's guilt is also our guilt. And more than that, because we are descended from him, his sinful nature has been inherited by us all, such that each of us have sinned against God. We have committed acts of sins which make us guilty before God as well. So we are doubly guilty. We are guilty in Adam. We are guilty because of the many acts of sins we have committed against God. We all deserve to be damned before God because we refuse to acknowledge God. Despite the fact that He has written His law in our hearts, despite the fact that He has given us a conscience which often accuses or excuses. Okay? So let us understand that when those who have not heard the gospel perish in their sins, they deserve to perish because they are guilty before God. Don't blame God and say they did not have the chance to hear the gospel. But we are not talking about them, we are talking about you. You who raised this problem. You are not like them who have not heard the gospel. You are those who hear the gospel. And when you do not want to respond to the call of the gospel, when you reject the gospel, you are in a worse off situation compared to those who perish without hearing the gospel. And that is obvious. Because you have the opportunity to hear of the way of salvation compared to those others who have not heard. Certainly your guilt is more than them. Okay? But what if you hear the gospel, and not only will you not respond to the gospel, but instead you go against God, and you begin to attack His people? I would say your sin is worst. And if you are damned by God, if you are destroyed by God, by His judgment, you deserve it. Okay? Now, remember, the judgments of God upon the world is against sinful unbelief. Jadi perkara yang kedua yang seharusnya kita mengerti ialah ini. Penghakiman umum ini yang jatuh ke dunia ini ialah terhadap ketidakpercayaan yang degil. Ada orang yang enggan tunduk kepada Tuhan, menolak Injil, dan mereka melawan Tuhan dan menganiayai umatnya. Bukankah itu kedegilan orang-orang yang tidak percaya? Okay. Sekiranya ada orang yang mati dalam dosa mereka tanpa mendengar Injil, mereka sudah layak dihakimi kerana selama ini mereka bersalah dalam Adam dan kerana dosa-dosa yang sudah dibuat mereka sendiri. Okay. Kalaulah kamu sudah mendengar Injil dan tidak membuat apa respon, tidak bertobat dan tidak percaya kepada Yesus, maka kesalahanmu lebih dari mereka yang belum mendengar Injil. Kalau mereka sudah pun bersalah, lebih lagi kamu bersalah kerana kamu sudah ada peluang, ada kesempatan mendengar Injil tetapi tidak membuat apa respon. Tetapi sekiranya kamu sudah mendengar Injil dan bukan saja kamu tidak membuat apa respon, tetapi kamu sekarang bertindak melawan Tuhan, bukankah kamu lebih-lebih lagi bersalah? Kalau kamu dikutuk Tuhan dan dihapuskannya kerana penghakimannya, bukankah kamu benar-benar layak dihapuskan? Okay. And then another thing to be noted is this. Consider the age we are living in. We are considering God's action upon this earth during this gospel age. It is this gospel age we are talking about. The period beginning with Christ's first coming and ending with His second coming. We are saying that in this period of time, the Savior promised before that has already arrived. See? Jesus Christ has already laid down His life for His people. He has already died and been resurrected and gone to heaven. The gospel is now being proclaimed to all nations in the world. The call of the gospel is coming to you constantly, asking you to repent of your sinful life and turn to trust in Christ that you may find forgiveness with God. See? You live in this age of fulfillment of prophecies. You live in this age in which all that is needed for the sinner to be made right with God has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. You live in an age when the gospel offer comes to you constantly, pleading with you to turn from your sins to come and trust in Christ. And yet, if you refuse to come, if you reject the gospel, if you turn against God, is not the judgment of God upon you well deserved? Now, you answer yourself. Bukankah kamu layak dihukum, dikutuk oleh Tuhan? Kerana kita hidup dalam zaman ini, zaman apa ini? Coba fikirkan. Ini zaman Injil. Ini zaman sekarang yang bermula dengan kedatangan Yesus pada kali pertama dan akan mengakhiri dengan kepulangannya kali kedua. Zaman ini, Yesus sudah sampai. Nubuat-nubuat oleh Nabi yang Lampau itu sudah digenapi. Yesus sudah melakukan apa-apa pun yang diperlukan untuk menyelamatkan orang-orang berdosa. Injil sekarang diperkabarkan kepada semua bangsa. Dan Injil sentiasa didengari oleh kamu. Kamu disuruh bertobat. Disuruh percaya kepada Yesus. Kamu disuruh pulang ke pangkuan Tuhanmu melalui Yesus. Tetapi kamu enggan. Kamu menolak Injil. Dan kamu berdegil. Dan kamu berani menentang Tuhan. Dan coba menganiayai umat-Nya. Bukankah kamu benar-benar layak dihapuskan? Okay. We come to the third point. Now all these are precursors to worse judgments to come. And the last verse, verse 13, shows to us an angel flying and announcing this news. Now some versions of the Bible say it is an eagle. Okay. And because all the while angels have been involved, I would believe that the King James Version, which translates from the received text, is more accurate. It's an angel. But whatever it is, even if you think it is an eagle, the point is you must not miss the fact that this is a warning from God, that worse is to come. That if these four trumpets are blown, and God is judging the world, in a general way, which eyes of faith can see, which many without faith will try to sweep away as natural occurrences. See? The warning is given to you that if all these are happening now before your eyes, expect worse things to come. God is going to specially judge you if you still do not respond to these general judgments that come from Him. So there are still three more trumpets to be blown. Therefore, the angel shouted out, "Woe, woe, woe," to the unbelieving world. And you know the word woe carries a bad sense. When you hear it, you know that something disastrous has happened or is going to happen. See? It's almost like we say, "Mati lah." When you hear somebody say, "Mati lah," you see. Or you say, you know, "Say lo," you know, "Si dao," you see. When you hear somebody say, "Si dao," you know, surely you turn around. You want to find out what has happened. You see, you expect something bad has happened. Okay? Whereas if somebody says, "Hurrah," you also are disturbed and you turn around, but you expect something happy. Maybe he's watching TV and his favorite team has got a goal. "Hurrah," you see. Maybe. But when you hear somebody say, "Say lo," you know. Say, well, you're worried, you know. What actually happened? See. When the word "woe" comes to us, we know something bad is going to happen. When another "woe" is given, we know something really bad is going to happen. But when it comes three times, "woe," you know it's real bad. And the reason is because there are three more angels who have to blow three more trumpets. And they are going to show God's particular judgment upon those who remain stubbornly in their unbelief. Okay. Jadi perkara ketiga yang kita belajar dari nas Alkitab ini ialah kesemua penghakiman umum ini ialah untuk menunjukkan bahwa penghakiman yang lebih buruk lagi akan berlaku. Dalam Alkitab kita diberitahu seorang malaikat mengisytiharkan hal ini. Dalam terjemahan lain, kita dapati seekor burung yang mengisytiharkannya, yang menyiarkannya. Ya. Tak kiralah, pada pendapat kita, malaikat ini lebih tepat. Kerana Alkitab kita diterjemahkan dari apa yang disebut dipanggil received text itu. Kita pikir itu lebih tepat. Tapi tak kiralah sama ada burung ke malaikat. Yang penting ialah ajaran yang terdapat di sini. Kalau malaikat ini menyebab "woe" ini atau menyatakan sesuatu yang buruk akan berlaku. Sudah tentu kita sepatutnya mendengar. Apakah dia? Ha? Seperti orang kata, aduh, kita tahu sesuatu yang menyakitkan sudah berlaku. Ha? Dan kalau malaikat ini menyatakan bahawa perkara buruk ini akan berlaku dua kali, ini sudah serius. Kalau tiga kali disebutnya, maka ini tak boleh kita memperkecilkan atau mengabaikan lagi. Kita sepatutnya ambil keberatan mengetahui apakah sebenarnya beritanya. Beritanya ialah ini. Kalau penghakiman umum ini masih lagi tak dienggari oleh orang yang mendengar, masih lagi kamu menolaknya, masih kamu enggan mempelajari darinya, penghakiman yang lebih teruk lagi, yang khusus ditujukan kepada mereka yang berdegil itu, akan berlaku. Okay? Jadi kita sepatutnya tahu, penghakiman umum ini menunjukkan bahawa penghakiman yang lebih teruk, yang lebih buruk akan berlaku. Now, in order to make this point very clear, you discover that all these are put in such a way that with the blowing of the four trumpets, there is a pause before the next three trumpets. And there is this announcement that comes before the next three trumpets. See? Now you are watching a show, nice show on television, and at the crucial point, and then advertisement come in. I know. We want to know what is the subsequent events, and here the advertisement come in. You have to patiently wait. But then you wait. When is the advertisement open? Over, and then the next part you watch very carefully. Now the intermission here is to make you aware, and this is not advertisement, this is not something trivial, this is not to distract you, but this is all the more to focus your attention on what you are to expect after this. See? So the seriousness of the whole situation is underlined by this intermission, this break, in which there is no distraction. Instead, our hearts are being prepared and focused all the more on what is coming. Okay. Jadi, betapa seriusnya keadaan kita ini ditunjukkan oleh empat trompet yang sudah dibunyikan itu. Dan ada berhenti, rehat sebentar. Sebelum kita diberitahu apa akan berlaku apabila trompet tiga yang kemudian itu dibunyikan. Biasanya kalau ada berhenti, rehat sebentar, ini membenarkan, memberikan kita sedikit waktu untuk mengumpul pikiran kita. Supaya kita bersedia untuk apa yang akan berlaku kemudiannya. Kalaulah kita menonton wayang pada televisyen, kalau adegannya, actionnya sampai wah, kita rasa tertarik dan kita ingin tahu apa akan berlaku selepas itu, dan tiba-tiba berhenti dan iklan keluar pula, kita rasa marah. Ayah, kita ingin tahu kesudahannya, kenapa ada iklan yang datang buat kacau saja. Tapi kita tunggu bila iklan itu sudah habis, kita sudah tentu akan menumpukan perhatian kita kepada wayang itu untuk mengetahui kesudahannya. Dalam cerita ini, dalam Alkitab kita ini, bukan iklan yang keluar, bukan perkara remeh-temeh yang keluar, bahkan apa yang keluar ialah pengisytiharan, pekabaran yang lebih-lebih menumpukan perhatian kita kepada apa yang akan berlaku kemudiannya. Ini betapa seriusnya keadaan. Tuhan kita ingin kita tahu bahawa sekiranya kita tidak memperhatikan dan belajar dari penghakiman umumnya, apa yang akan berlaku kemudian adalah penghakiman khusus yang ditujukan kepada mereka yang terus berdegil. Okay.
Now, we must draw to a close. We have this general judgments of God shown by the four trumpets that are blown. From these, we learn firstly that they are a response to the prayers of the saints. They are for the sin of stubborn unbelief, and they are the precursors of worse judgments.
Okay.
What may we learn? Firstly, God is merciful and long-suffering, calling upon all those who have not yet submitted their lives to Him to repent of your sins and to come humbly to Jesus Christ to find eternal life in Him. In other words, God is saying to all those who are not yet Christians, God is saying to those who are not yet true Christians, in name only you call yourself Christians, but your life is not submitted to God. You do not live to God's glory. You come to church only whenever you like. And when you don't like, you don't come. You live your life as you like. God is saying to you, repent. Repent of your sinful life. Come and trust in Jesus Christ, who alone can save you, without which you will never have eternal life. See? God is being merciful. Every time you see a road accident, somebody died tragically. You see? God is actually awakening you to the realization that it could have been you. Now remember, when anybody died tragically, we as an outsider do not know whether it is God's direct judgment upon the person or not. We cannot say that person died because of some particular sin he has committed. We simply do not know because we do not have the mind of God. We are not God. Okay? Even godly people can die tragically. Even Job can suffer terribly despite the fact that he was a righteous man. So it is not for us to judge when a person suffers or dies tragically. But whenever a tragic thing happens, it needs to awaken us to the realization that God is acting in judgment upon the unbelieving world. And those of us who are not judged yet, who do not suffer yet, who have not died yet, you are left alive only because God is being merciful to you. God wants you to awaken to the realization that He is being patient, extra patient to you. And you don't want to test God's patience beyond what you have done so far. One thing has happened and you were jolted. See? And you have not responded correctly by repenting of your sins to trust in Christ. Another thing happens in your life. You come to realize, hey, this is another thing that makes you wonder about what you are doing with your life. And you see, you don't want to test God to the point where the next thing that happens, you don't even have the chance to sing anymore. You are just taken away. You are gone. I remember when you are taken away, there is no chance in afterlife. The chance to be made right with God is only in this life. And you don't want the next incident to take you away. You see? And that is why it is so crucial for us to see that the events that are happening around the world are saying something to us. That God is in control of the whole situation. He's acting in response to the prayer of His people. He's acting in mercy to those who have not yet responded to the call of the gospel. So the first thing that we must conclude with is that those who have not repented must repent. You must turn from your sins. You must come to Christ and believe in Him. Otherwise, you will perish. See? And then the second lesson to us all is this. Now, those of us who suffer for our faith, who find that living the Christian life is such a struggle, yet we want to go on in our Christian life. We want to follow the Lord.
But we often have to bear the sufferings that come with our faith. Now God is trying to say to us, He's taking note of all our sufferings. All our cry to Him is being heard. Sometimes it appears that He's not answering, but that is not true. He always hears the call of His people, the prayer of His people. He loves His people. We have been purchased by the precious blood of His Son. We are the apple of His eye. God will not allow our enemies to harm us without doing something against them. Now think of your precious son or daughter coming home from school crying. Why? Because he or she has been bullied by some people at home. Now, how do you feel as a parent? See? Now you want to do something about it. You don't want your son to constantly every day go to school and then come home miserable, being bullied by people. And one day as you wait for him to come home, you see, hey, he's not just coming home crying. He's frightened and he's running. Why? Because a group of other boys are chasing him and they're kicking him. They're taking his bag and throwing it away. And there is a poor son picking up your things. And there they pull him. They whack him. They bully him like that. Now, what are you going to do as a parent? You're not going to stand there and let things happen. You're going to go forward and put a stop to it. You're going to bash those kids if you can. See? So you think God will allow His precious children to be attacked by the unbelieving in this world and He will not do anything? You see? He appears only to be not doing anything, and that is because He's in such control over everything that He's doing something in His own way, in His own time. And we often perceive it as Him not acting. But actually He's already acting. He's already taking note of everything. He's already doing something on our behalf. That you can be sure. God loves His people. He's not going to leave His people. He's not going to forsake them. He's not going to allow harm to come to them without lifting a finger to protect them. See? Now you know what it is like. See? Here is a giant who is sleeping. And here is a fly that comes and lands on his hand. And the fly is just disturbing him. The giant just needs to shake a little and the fly will be thrown off. Okay? What is that fly compared to the giant just shaking a few muscles? What if that giant were to stir, unfold his arm? What if he's to walk? He begins to storm. He begins to cause so much destruction. The giant is so powerful, but now he just shakes his little muscle in order to throw off that fly. Okay? Now when the tsunami occurred, we are told by the experts how it happened. You know, the fault under the ocean is such that it has been building up, and the earth moved, and one layer goes on top of the other. So pushing this volume of water up, and because this volume of water has been pushed up, it therefore has to come down, and as it comes down, it spreads. And as it spreads, the waves go, the power of the water go, and as it reaches the shore, the shore becomes shallower. So where does this energy go? The energy becomes pushed up as waves. And because these waves are moving so fast and pushed up, huge waves come and sweep everything away from the shore. We are told that's how it happens. Okay? And do you know what it takes to cause that tsunami? Now, if you have ever watered plants in the old way, instead of in the modern way, where you turn on your pipe and then you use a hose and shoot. You know, in the old days, we have to carry water, one pail, and perhaps with those spouts, watering the plants. When you carry a bucket of water like that, it's not easy, you know. It is not light, you know. It's very heavy. Okay? Some of us have experienced water cuts. There's no water, not enough water. So the government sends all those tanks and then give us water. Then you bring out all your buckets, you carry the water, you know, and it's heavy. It's heavy. Right? Then if you were to buy a bigger container, you go there and fill up, you discover, hey, this is no joke. You see? And that is only that amount of water. See, imagine you multiply that 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. That is the volume of water that's being lifted up to cause that tsunami that killed 200 over 1,000 people. See? And God is only like that giant, just shifting a little bit, moving, twitching his muscle a little bit. God is able to cause colossal upheavals on this earth and throughout the universe because he is the God who created everything and he is the God who is in control of everything. And the message to us is this. He's in control. He will act. He's listening to the cry of his people. He will avenge his people. And he's so powerful and in control of everything that he doesn't have to act in panic. See? Now, if you were to receive a phone call from your son, you say, you know, I'm in school, you know, he's nowadays a handphone, very convenient. He messaged back one day, you know, I'm being surrounded by 5 men, 10 men, and they have 6, they're beating me, and the phone is cut off. How would you feel? Now you quickly get your sons, go in, bring your weapons, drive quickly to that place, go and defend your son, save your son. You fear that something is going to happen, something bad is going to happen to your son, you rush to his rescue. Okay? But God does not have to rush like that. Because he's so much in control and he sees everything. He can arrange things such that, you know, it appears like the normal course of events. It appears that nothing has been done, but things are being done such that all the harm caused to his people will be neutralized. Not only neutralized, but his will is being carried out. Such is the power of our God. He is in control. He loves his people. He's answering our prayers. He's avenging us. That we can rest assured. We must trust in him. Okay?
Jadi kita menghabisi dengan dua perkara. Pertama, orang yang belum percaya, janganlah berdegil lagi. Kalau ada perkara buruk yang berlaku dalam di bumi ini, maka ini semua ialah pengumuman bahawa perkara yang lebih buruk lagi akan berlaku. Kita sepatutnya bertobat, percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, berdamai dengan Tuhan kita. Nah, perkara kedua yang kita patut mempelajari ialah kita sebagai anak-anak Tuhan yang sudah ditebus oleh darah yang berharga, Yesus Kristus. Nah, kita adalah disayanginya, ialah anak kesayangannya. Dia tidak akan membiarkan kita. Dia akan mendengar doa kita. Dia akan membela kita. Dia sudah tentu akan bertindak menjawab doa kita. Percayalah kepada dia.
Let us close with a hymn. Let us turn to hymn number 128.